Whatever your gifts and callings look like, they don't have to look like somebody else. But if you will bring them, God's going to have you contribute to what is going to be an absolutely glorious wave of God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to take you on a little bit of a journey today of these two themes that the Lord has really specifically been speaking to me about in the last few weeks. And those themes are honey. Alan's rejoicing. Honey and the wave. And you'll think, well, how do they relate? Well, I think hopefully as you listen with prophetic ears tonight, you may be able to understand what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to us through a series of dreams. And the first dream I want to share about is a dream that Meg actually had, Megan Williamson had for me during our time with the Queensland Prophetic Council. And then two dreams that I had in the last couple of weeks that I believe relate very much to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do here. Hallelujah. So Meg had an interesting dream. I didn't quite know what to make of it when she first started. She said, I had a dream about you. She said, you were a cactus. I didn't quite know how to take that. But she said, I saw you as a cactus, and the cactus had a face. And inside the mouth of the cactus were all these bees. And when adverse winds came or things came against you, you could open your mouth and let the bees out, and the bees would dismantle what was coming against you. But the Lord said, hold the bees until they create a hive, and the honey will bring healing. And I thought, that's such an interesting dream. I really appreciated that dream, because there are many times when I really would like to let the bees out. And there is a time to speak, but there's also a time to listen and hold your words until, as it says in Proverbs, gracious words are like honeycomb and bring healing to the bones. And it's easy sometimes to retort with an opinion or an argument or with knowledge, but when it comes forth as honey that has been developed on the inside, the Lord wants to release, I believe, healing through our words, not just defense. Hallelujah. And so I thought that was a fascinating dream, this dream about let the bees create a hive and make honey. You think, where is this going? Well, I then had a dream. The first dream I had, and the Lord speaks to us through dreams. We know that biblically the Lord regularly spoke to people throughout the Old and the New Testament through dreams. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the revealer of mysteries, is often wanting to speak to us through our dreams. And so I pay attention when I dream and ask the Holy Spirit when I wake up, are you speaking to me? What do you want to say? Sometimes it just dreams that are processing your thoughts, but sometimes the Lord really wants to speak, and we need to give attention to what He's saying, and He'll confirm it through His Word. So I had this dream, and I was with all the prophets, so I think the Spirit of God gets us stirred up in the prophetic as we are all together. But I dreamt that there were all these prophets lined up in front of a vast army that you couldn't see to the right or the left, the end of it. It just was a huge, vast army. And all these prophets were lined up in front of the army. And they had in their hands smooth stones. Some of the prophets were taking those stones and were actually throwing them at the army. And they had good motivation. They were saying things like, "You're so complacent, you're so lazy, you're not seeing what the Lord's doing." But they were throwing the stones at the army. I believe there's a place for bringing correction, but these were words that were hitting the army. And there were others among those prophets that were taking their stones and they were aiming them at these giants that were lined up in front of them. And as they took their stones and threw them at the giants fell down, and as they did, the entire army surged forth to take new territory. We were singing tonight, as we declare the name of Jesus, the giants fall down. I believe we have to be very careful with our words in this coming season, that we aren't attacking each other, but that we're actually focusing on what the Lord is wanting to do and recognizing that we have power to speak to mountains and see them move. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is a passage probably most of you are familiar with. It's David and Goliath. And we know that when David came down, all the army of Israel was being profoundly intimidated by this big giant Goliath. And Goliath was taunting them and mocking them. And they were terrified. But David came and he had a completely different perspective. He got excited. He didn't feel like, okay, we're going to try and work ourselves up to see this giant come down. He actually got excited thinking about what happens for the guy that gets to take him out. We are the people who have a covenant. God is with us. Who can be against us? This is going to be awesome. Who gets to do it? And they were all terrified, thinking, we haven't got anybody who could possibly take this giant out. And this little teenage guy comes in going, oh, this is awesome. Who gets to take him out? We have the God of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords with us. This is so exciting. And of course, we go on and read that Eliab, David's older brother, was quite offended at David's presumption. And he started attacking David and accusing him, saying, I know your wicked heart. I know you've just come down to see the battle. And I want to pick it up here. Hallelujah. We're going to look here in verse 26. The Lord spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. You know, people will get upset with those that think anything's possible without having earned their stripes. God will use anybody who will humble themselves like a little child and believe. Hallelujah. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he spoke, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Basically trying to embarrass him and humiliate him. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You've come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And the people answered him as the first ones did. Basically, Eliab's accusing him, attacking him, and David goes, tell me again what happens for the guy that gets to take out Goliath. Instead of defending himself, my pastor, Pastor Jim, used to say, never explain. Your friends don't need an explanation and your enemies will never accept one. But instead of responding and defending himself, he just said, is there not a cause? I believe we've got to be really aware of the opportunity that God is placing in our hearts right now, that we are being given the key of David to understand that we have the anointing to see differently. While the world gets intimidated and afraid, we can get excited, hallelujah, knowing that God is for us, who can be against us? So you think, what does this have to do with honey? Well, I believe that as the wave of God, of God's powerful moving of his Holy Spirit caused this army to surge forward when the prophets began to speak in the right direction. And I believe it's so important that we're careful not to be attacking each other right now, but that the Spirit of God is moving on our hearts to come into a place of unity where we are looking at the right thing and directing our eyes toward the right thing. Hallelujah. In the next dream that I had a dream about a huge tsunami. I've been speaking recently about when I was just 23 years old. After the Holy Spirit touched me in 1994, I began to have deep groanings and travail and visions of what the Lord was going to do. And I woke up one morning with a word in front of me, a word spelt out, G-A-L-I-A-H, and I didn't know what it was. I thought, maybe it's a Bible college I'm supposed to go to or something. I had no idea what it was, but it was an open vision. And I'd never had an open vision before. I'd had inner visions, but this was this word as I opened my eyes when I woke up. I tried to figure out what it was. I didn't know what it was. And then a few weeks later, again, this word appeared in front of me as I woke up. And I eventually was able to figure out it was actually a Hebrew word. It was a Hebrew female name meaning wave of God. I just discussed this with Dr. Michael Brown, who's a Hebrew scholar, and he goes, yes, Galia, it's wave of God. Anyway, in this dream, I was dreaming, the Lord began to speak to me. And I knew in my heart in the dream that a big tsunami was about to come, bigger than we'd ever seen before. And so, you've got to understand the language of dreams. I thought, I'd better go and get my clothes out of the car. So I went and got all my clothes out of the car because I knew the wave was coming. And my car was parked in the parking lot. And then everybody was watching and they were looking out of the window at a high place. And they were looking and watching intently as the tide began to, and the waves began to have surges, and they were talking to each other saying, do you think that's it? Do you think that's it? And I thought to myself, you ain't seen nothing yet. And then suddenly this tsunami hit, and it was bigger than we could have ever imagined. Then the scene changed, and I was with Aaron and a whole bunch of our team, Pastor Aaron. Hello, Aaron. And we were in the car with Aaron, and he was driving through these flooded roads that I don't know how he was doing it. The water was way higher than you could imagine, but he was driving through these flooded roads with so much joy. And I was saying, this is dangerous. And he goes, oh no, this is awesome. I'm like, all right. And then we got to Aaron's house, and he brought out, we got there and he brought out these big jugs of mead, M-E-A-D, mead. And he said, would you like some mead? I've been making mead. I went, no, I don't want mead. I'd like something else. And it's like he didn't hear me. He just went, I've got mead. And I woke up. You think, what on earth is this woman talking about? Well, I woke up feeling like I believe that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I looked up what mead is. I've never had mead before, but I thought it was beer or something like this. And I, in the dream, I was thinking, I don't like beer. I'll have something else. But mead is actually made from fermented honey. And I felt the Lord say, in this next move, you're going to have to put aside your personal taste because there's honey in the hive. And as I began to process this dream with the Lord, I thought it was very interesting that he had me take out my clothes out of the car. I believe they're our gifts and our callings, our anointings. But in the wave, the parked car was swept away with the wave. And I believe in this next season, as the move of God comes, which is bigger than anything we've ever even asked, hoped, or imagined, God's going to need you to have your gifts and callings ready to bring together with other people. But the concept of your ministry is going to be swept away as the people of God come together to make honey that will bring healing to the nations. You see, one bee can't make honey by itself, but a hive where all the bees come together creates this glorious stuff called honey. As I was looking at this, I began to recognize the Holy Spirit is longing that we would understand he is about to do a new thing. And he is wanting to enlarge your capacity and help you surrender your idea of what it's going to look like, how it's going to be, and be ready to say, Lord, I'm just going to bring my gifts and callings, whatever they look like, and I'm going to jump in with everybody else, and we're going to see the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Whatever your gifts and callings look like, they don't have to look like somebody else, but if you will bring them, God's going to have you contribute to what is going to be an absolutely glorious wave of God. So I've just been in Pennsylvania, and as Tom and I were flying into Harrisburg, or as we were getting ready to fly into Harrisburg from Dallas, I bumped into Dr. Michael Brown. Michael Brown was the key teacher in the Brownsville revival. And on Father's Day, a move of God began that they just began to make room for. And then Dr. Michael Brown came down, and he was the key teacher in this revival that swept thousands and thousands and thousands of people into the kingdom as they came to repentance. They would be lining up from 6 o'clock in the morning for the evening service, and at 6 o'clock already every single day they were lined up around the block. As I was talking with Dr. Brown, he was like, are you going to be in my class? And I said, I'm going to be in Randy Clark's class. I'm just semester one. You're going to be with the semester three students, but we'll have one session with you. And he said, oh. So in one meal that we had free, he said, I'd really love to have a meal with you and Tom, just to pour into you. back in 2020, you might remember, Dr. Brown came out to do a conference about cultural change, and I just heard that he was in town. And as a young woman, I had watched all the videos of this Brownsville revival. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to go visit and see if I can get him to lay hands on me. And so I just popped along. I think it was probably a Saturday. And they invited me into the green room. And Dr. Clark was teaching, Dr. Brown was teaching on all the, you know, cultural change. Wasn't focused on revival, but in the green room, as he was getting ready to go and teach his next session, I just said, oh, would you lay hands on me? I know that you were a key leader in the Brownsville revival, and we desperately want to see revival in our nation. Would you release an impartation for me? And so he did. And what happened really surprised me, because just there in the green room, all of a sudden, I began to sob, tears that wouldn't stop. I don't actually know how long I was there. He had to slip off and go and preach, but I was so profoundly impacted. I came home and I told Tom, I think something really important has happened. And then, if you remember, I showed the video here and then released an impartation, and then did it again the next week because people were still so hungry, and the power of God hit people. It was powerful. And then the next week, the borders shut and everything shut down for 4 months. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You remember? Well, praise the Lord. At this intensive last week, Dr. Brown and Randy Clark both taught back-to-back sessions on the history of Toronto and then the history of revival in Brownsville, 94 and 95. And then together, they released an impartation for a fresh revival that would sweep the earth. And you've got all these leaders and PhDs and leaders of movements from all many different denominations. I don't know, maybe 80 people in the room. And it was so powerful as the Holy Spirit came. But the night before, I had had dinner with Dr. Brown, and he was talking to me about how they stewarded revival in Brownsville and began to show me a video of the outpouring. And we were sitting in the restaurant and I began to sob, tears rolling down my face. I didn't mean to. I'm not a crier. I don't do this easily. I just began to weep and cry as God began to remind me of the visions that I'd had at my when I was first called to the Lord to ministry in 1994. And then we went from dinner, and he went to teach his class with the semester three doctoral students. And instead of having then their class on church history, they all began to sob and weep. And we got out of our class at 9:30, and they were all still howling on the floor. And then the next night we had this impartation, and Friday morning we left and came back here. I've just arrived today. And I believe, as I spoke with Dr. Brown and told him some of these dreams, he said, oh, if you need anything, if I can input anything as this next move of God comes on Australia, please let me know. And I just believe that the Lord wants to do something very special today. As we come before Him, I believe if we'll posture our hearts and say, Lord, I don't want to just go through another year, another season of having what we've had. I want more. And if you'll decide in your heart, Lord, I'm so hungry. I want more. I believe the Lord has more for us. And I believe it's going to cause a unity in the body of Christ. Because this wave that hits is not just for here. We're seeing this start to happen across the whole east coast of Australia as the Holy Spirit is coming. And I believe He's sovereignly ordained this move of God that's begun. But I think we've seen the little tidal surges. And I think we're going to see something we haven't seen ever before, exceedingly abundantly above. But in order to really maximize what the Lord's doing, I think we're going to have to surrender and put down selfish ambition. We're going to have to lay down our grid of what it should look like. We're going to have to change our personal tastes. We're going to have to say, Lord, I've never had that before. I've never tasted mead before. I don't know if anyone here has tasted mead. It's you've had some mead. Mead is a really old drink, but we don't know what it tastes like. You can't just go to the store and order mead. And I believe there's going to be elements of what is very old and has been forgotten in this next move of God. And it's going to be new to nearly all of us. But it's going to be something that I believe is going to come not just from one bee or one ministry. It's going to come as we all come and lay down our gifts and our callings and say, Lord, however I can serve in this coming move, Lord, it's here, it's yours. I want to finish today's program by sharing some scriptures that have really encouraged me. Here's three scriptures to really boost your faith when you pray. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need.